gospel reading today is from John chapter 13 verses 31 through chapter 14 verse 4. And just to give you some context for this, this is part of the Jesus' farewell to his disciples. And chapter 13 begins on that Passover night, the last of the Last Supper. And early in the chapter, Jesus has washed the feet of his disciples. He's given them a new commandment to love one another. And this whole discourse goes from chapter 13, verse 1, through chapter 17, through the end of chapter 17. And what happens is that we have verses numbered and chapters numbered, and sometimes they confuse us. And so we miss the flow of the whole story. So anyways, we're picking up in the towards the end of chapter 13 and going through the first four verses of chapter 14. Hear the word of the Lord. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has glorified him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer, and you will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so I say to you now, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment that you would love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus answered, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterwards." And Peter said to him, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." And Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times." Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. And if it were not so, I would have told you, that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may also be. And you know the way to the place I am going. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, as we ponder these words today, I pray that by your Spirit you would speak to our hearts in this time of trouble in our nation and in our communities. We pray these things through Jesus' name. Amen. So the text for today doesn't really lend itself to Mother's Day, so sorry about that. Except that there may have been some promises that you and I made to our mothers when we were growing up that we didn't keep. And maybe you felt bad about that. Maybe she punished you or some way, or gave you the look that let you know that you did something of which she did not approve. I think you probably know that look. That said, I'd like you to think back over your life in a time when you made a promise to God, and either you could not or would not keep that promise. Perhaps you were on a church retreat, and you promised God that you would read the Bible and have prayer time every day. You would do daily devotions, but you found the scriptures to be a little confusing at times, and you lost interest, or perhaps got so busy with kids and life that, time just kind of slipped away. Maybe you made a pledge to share your faith at work or school, but when God came up at lunch, you just looked at your plate and said nothing. Or maybe you found yourself like the guy who was hiking on a narrow mountain trail along a steep precipice. And he saw an eagle soaring over the valley, and took his eyes off the trail for a moment, and just then he stubbed his foot on a rock and tumbled forward and over the edge of the precipice. And he fell down, 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 until he was able to grab a bush that was growing out of the side of that steep precipice. It stopped his slide, and he was grateful. He looked down to see how much further it was and if that was safe to let go and slide down or whatever. And he said, oh, I don't think so. And he looked up for any possible handholds that he could grab onto to pull himself up back to the trail. And he didn't see anything. So he cried out, hello, is anybody out there? And there was silence. He cried out again, anybody out there, help? And there was silence. And so he prayed, God, if you're really out there, help me get out of this jam. And if you do, I'll do anything you want. I'll go to church every Sunday. I'll read the Bible. I'll pray. Just help me. And then he waited. He waited. And finally, he heard a voice from up above say, let go of the bush. And he looked down, and it was a long way down, and nothing to stop him. He looked up again and couldn't see anything or anyone. So he said, is there anyone else out there? Help! Well, I don't know if any of that fits you, but when I was growing up in fundamentalism, daily devotions and fervent prayer was really emphasized. And it was all about our personal relationship with Jesus and talking to him every day and having a prayerful attitude all day long. We were expected to witness to our friends who didn't have that same kind of personal relationship with Jesus. And I confess, some days I was so heavenly minded that I was no earthly good. And some of my friends and classmates would listen politely and then go on their way. When I wasn't as faithful or as devoted as I was supposed to be, I would feel guilty. And so I'd confess my faithlessness and go through that cycle all over again of recommitment and promise and failure. It all seemed as though I could never really be faithful enough, good enough, and there was always that fear that Jesus would come and find me sorely deficient. Promises made, promises broken, utter failure. Some may be struggling with addiction of one sort or other, but have been unable to stop. And I think of all of us, if we are honest, have failed God at one time or another and in some way. Sometimes I think we can be really hard on ourselves, like no one has ever failed like we have failed. But the truth of the matter is that Scripture is filled with stories of people who fail to live up to their promises and yet somehow survive to live another day. So what is God's response to us when we fail? I think we need to look no further than Peter, who seems like an unlikely person to break promises to Jesus. I mean, after all, he had walked with Jesus for about 3 years. He had witnessed his teaching. He had seen the miracles. He had grown to love Jesus. He had seen how Jesus welcomed with open arms all who came to him. But taking a deeper look, we see another side of Peter. He was a man of action. He was impulsive. He often spoke before he thought, and he was one who heard what he wanted to hear and would charge ahead. He was one who wanted to make his own choices and be in control. Yeah, Peter was one who broke his promise. And he was the one who denied Jesus three times. As we pick up the story, we join Jesus and the disciples in that upper room for the Passover meal, the Last Supper that they would share together. And this turned out to be a strange evening. Something was different. Something was off. As John tells the story of the Last Supper, Jesus washed the feet of the disciples and admonished them to do the same for one another. He announced that one of the 12 was going to betray him, and Judas mysteriously disappeared. The disciples were confused and even afraid. What was Jesus talking about and trying to tell them? Where did Judas go? What in the world is going on here? So Jesus began to tell them again that he was only going to be with them for a little while longer. And where he was going, they could not come. And he gave them a new commandment to love one another as I have loved you. So when we pick up that story in chapter 13, verse 36, Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later on." But Peter wanted to know where Jesus was going and why they couldn't go with him. So he said, "Jesus, I'll lay down my life for you." And Jesus said, "Really, Peter? I tell you the truth. Before the rooster crows tonight, you will have denied me three times." Can you imagine the shock that was going on in Peter's mind? Peter really wanted to follow Jesus, and he was sincere. But Jesus, who knew what was about to happen, knew better and spoke the truth to Peter. Mark's gospel fills in some of the details of what happened later that night. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him closely. She said, "You were with that Nazarene, Jesus." But he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you're talking about." And then he went out into the entryway. And when the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, "This fellow's one of them." And again, Peter denied it. A little while later, those standing near Peter said, "Surely you are one of them, because you're a Galilean." And he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man you are talking about." And immediately the rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered Jesus' words, and he broke down and wept. Peter wanted to be near Jesus. He wanted to remain faithful, but when push came to shove, and he felt threatened for his own life and safety, he made choices that he almost immediately regretted. He got caught up in the intense pressure of the moment, and he caved in. And when the rooster crowed, Peter wept. He had failed his Lord, and he was broken. We are a lot like Peter, aren't we? We say we want to be faithful, and we really try, but when the pressure is on, we too cave in. We want to be committed to a devotional life, and we want to share the good news and the love of Jesus with friends. We want to be honest in our business dealings. We desperately want to be free of those addictions that plague us. But when push comes to shove, like Peter, we cave in. We give in to the pressure and choose to serve ourselves and fail the Lord. And too often we make wrong choices when we are reminded of our promises, when the rooster crows in our life, we are overcome with guilt and our spirits cry out. I need to say this again because before we go on, because the context matters. And we have the chapters and verses that were artificially inserted into stories to make it easier for us to find particular verses and particular sayings and all of that. And sometimes we think that reading the Bible is like reading a regular book where you have chapters, and when a chapter ends, you go on to the next phase or next topic or so forth in whatever the author is talking about, whether it's a novel, a different part of the journey through that novel and that story. If it's not a novel, if it's a biography or something, it's another phase of a person's life. But the Bible isn't like that. And so we have chapter 13 through 17 is one long discourse and probably needs to be read together all at once. But we break it up because there's a lot of words. Yeah. So next Sunday, we'll pick up chapter 14, verses 15 to 21, which is another small part of this larger context. Okay. So, how did Jesus respond to Peter and the disciples on this night? Chapter 14 begins this way. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Do you hear that? Do you hear any condemnation there? Peter, you're such a slug. You're such a failure. When will you ever learn? No, not at all. Instead, we hear, don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. So think for a moment about the biggest failure in your life. How badly did you beat yourself up? I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't said that. I wonder if anyone could forgive me. What messages do you tell yourself? Did you and do you still feel like an utter failure in that particular case? Have you come to grips with it, forgiven yourself? Hear the words of Jesus. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. That's a message for all of us today, no matter what our failing has been. And that, my friends, is the good news of the gospel. So let us live. Glory be to God. Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the good news that you give to us, even when we feel like failures. You offer words of comfort and peace. Thank you for loving us the way you do and for offering seeds of good news that can spring forth into rejuvenating life. We thank you for seeds and bulbs that bring flowers and trees to life as well. Amen. We have